John chapter 17 is where we're going to be, verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6. When you come to church and get even a glimpse of God's glory, of Jesus being the Christ, and you truly worship Him, when you leave, what should be the virtue you will display? We're going to read John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. This is in the middle of Jesus' high priestly prayer, as my Bible terms it. He knows that the cross is before Him. Verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you, and the words which you gave me I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. If I were to ask you to describe your outlook on life using weather terms, what would you say? Some, no doubt, would say that everything is bright. My outlook on life is sunny. It's clear, it's bright. Some would say not a cloud in the sky. The winds are light. Everything's as good as it could be. Or others would perhaps hedge a little and say, well, partly sunny. A few clouds. The wind's picked up a little bit, but if I take care of everything, everything will be okay. Your outlook overall is good, but there are those few troubling areas. Some of you might describe your current conditions in terms of a week ago last Tuesday. The wind is howling, the rain is coming in sideways, it's cold, it's damp, it's yucky, it's gloomy, it's just not good. A storm is on top of you. And you're not sure if or when it will ever pass. If I were to ask you to describe your outlook on life, your heart's condition, using weather terms, what would you say? Would you say your heart, your life has sunshine or clouds, joy or despair in it? Joy is gladness of heart. Do you have gladness of heart? The condition of your heart is determined by what influences you the most. What are your current conditions? Are your current conditions influenced most by forces seeking to destroy you? Jesus knows his time is short. So he has gathered his disciples to prepare them for the mission that is going to become theirs. And that mission is in a hostile world. They've already begun to see some of that, but they're going to experience it more and more and more. And so Jesus prays for them, not to be taken out of this world, but to be protected from the influences of the world. The world takes joy away. It's what it does. Listen to the 6 o'clock news tonight. Pick any night and listen to the 6 o'clock. Everything that's on the news is a joy stealer. It takes it away. The world takes the joy away because the world would not know them because it did not know Jesus, the one true living God. And just like Jesus, the disciples would be hated by the world. In a very physical sense, the world is fallen and it is cursed. Why is it that your hair will turn gray if it hadn't already? Why is it that we will hear of someone who's had a diagnosis and their time won't be long? We live in a fallen, sinful world physically, but it's also happening spiritually. The world is against God because the world is under Satan's control. So everything that he's about, and he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so everything that he can get his hands on, he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And part of what he steals from us is joy. If we let the forces seeking to destroy us, in a moral sense, the world plays to your lust of the eyes, your lust of the flesh, your boastful pride of life. And all this does, all of this works together to chip away at your heart's condition. To chip away at the gladness of heart, to chip away at joy. And so think of that as a constant pull, like a magnet on steel. It's constantly there. Because the world was against Jesus, the world is against those who claim to know Jesus. Jesus didn't pray for the disciples to be taken out of the world. He said, "Everyone that you gave me, I brought, except that one." They were left to continue the redemptive mission, and we have that same redemptive mission, that we're to go into every part of our world, whether that be locally in terms of neighbors, this county, we're to go everywhere, our Jerusalem, our Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. What we're to be about is that redemptive mission of Christ. So Jesus prayed for the disciples that they would be kept from the evil one. Satan, the devil, is a slanderer and accuser. But never forget that he is still under God's control. Never forget that he is not on the loose, that he is still under God's control. But he came to steal, he came to kill, he came to destroy, he came to do everything he could. So as you pledge allegiance to Christ, he becomes your enemy. So are your current conditions influenced most by these forces seeking to destroy you? Never forget, though, that he goes about like a roaring lion. A lion roared when he was old and feeble, because a young, agile, virile lion would sneak up on its prey. So Satan doesn't have as much power as we would sometimes want him to think that he does. But he's seeking to destroy us. The high school and college wrestling season is going to be beginning soon. And I got to tell you, I love wrestling like that. That's real wrestling. I love that kind of wrestling. I have no idea what it's like to wrestle. I never did wrestle, but I do know this, having watched our son wrestle. When you think about sports and you've got a team out there, and there's 10 other guys on the team, or 8 other guys on the team, or 4 other guys on the team, there are plays, there are times when you can take the play off. But not in wrestling. Because that foe is always there. You're always working against your opponent. And that's what's happening in life, that Satan is against you that way, constantly seeking to influence you, steal your joy, and destroy you. So this morning, do you have joy? Or has there been something come up in front of your eyes, your spiritual eyes, your sense of well-being that just says, you know, life's terrible, life's going to fall apart, everything's rotten, everything's, the world's against you? Or are you letting those forces shape you most? How much joy do you have in your life? You know, the commercials this afternoon, if you watch any television at all, there'll be car commercials. Automobile dealers, manufacturers are advertised with the insinuation, if you don't have this car, you're a nobody. Words and phrases are coined and repeated by the masses, even if some of the connotations are suspect, because that does, all that does is chip away, chip away, chip away. How many people stood in line a couple, three, 4 weeks ago to pre-order the latest, fastest gadget that next year you're going to have to stand in line again to pre-order the next latest, fastest gadget? And if you don't have the latest and the fastest gadget, then you're just not with it. And all that does is steal our sense of joy. So what are your current conditions this morning? Are your current conditions influenced most by forces seeking the best for you? Sometimes we let the forces seeking the worst for us, those that will destroy us, affect us most. Are you allowing the forces seeking the best for you this morning to influence your current conditions? You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life, but I know the one who saves. Jesus is about to return to the glory of the Father, so he prays for you. He prays for you. He wants his joy to be in you, and he wants his joy to be in you fully, completely. But don't confuse happiness with joy, because happiness is oftentimes based solely on circumstances. If your team won yesterday, you're happy. If your team lost, maybe not so. All the things that go on in our life that are about circumstances tell us that we ought to be happy or not. But don't confuse joy with that, because joy is gladness of heart. Joy is based solely on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus manifested the name of the Father. Jesus manifested his nature and his character to the world. And real joy comes from knowing God. From the one to know the one that created us, that knows exactly how we are. Real joy comes from having a relationship with Jesus. This is much more than just knowing about him. This is personal. This is intimate. Suppose you were to be at a social gathering, and there were two people there, one whom you've known forever. I mean, you know, you've lived by him, you've worked with him, you've known him for years and years and years. The other person was somebody that you just met that night, and luckily for you, you were able to remember their name. And somebody else, a third person, came up and says, do you know those two people over there? Now, if you say, yes, I know them, then you're speaking truthfully. The one, you do know both of them, but one of them you know intimately. You know what they like and don't like. You know what bothers them and doesn't bother them. One you really know because you've worked with that person or lived by them. Do you understand the difference between having a head knowledge of Christ and a heart knowledge of Christ? A head knowledge of Christ is to be able to say, yeah, Jesus, isn't that why we celebrate Christmas? Versus a heart knowledge who says, he's my Savior. He is my best of best friends. He is the one who cares for me more than I understand. He is the one who's with me. Jesus says that he also came to give us God's word, God's truth. Previously, God had spoken through the prophets, through spokesmen in many ways. But in these last days, now he speaks through his son Jesus. And God's word is truth. And that truth sanctifies or sets apart, and it makes acceptable all of us to God. God's word does that. Jesus prayed that you would know God's word, because his word tells us about him. And his word tells us about who we are. And his word is a source of joy. His word gives direction to life. It keeps us out of troubles that rob you of joy. God's word is like a GPS unit. You've got that in your car, maybe? Or on the latest great gadget that you stood in line for? The GPS always knows where you are. It always knows where you need to go. And that's what God's word is. It knows exactly where you are, and it knows exactly which way you should go, which way you should live. Do you have joy this morning? Do you have joy? Are you a student of God's word? Are you seeking after God as you dig into his word? There was a survey some years back, and it found that desiring a close personal relationship with God ranked sixth among 21 life goals, behind such desires as living a comfortable lifestyle. Where would it rank in your life, in your heart? If you say, well, it's not as important as this, that, or the other, then it's no wonder joy is fleeting for you. When we lived in South Carolina, we knew a good number of the folks who attended First Baptist Camden because Kim's family went there. In fact, one of the first people we met that attended that church that I met was a man by the name of Carl Witt. Carl had been an educator. He'd been a pastor. Carl was just a great guy. He loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart. Somewhere in the midst of our time there, Carl was diagnosed with cancer, and it got him. I was talking with a man who was in his Sunday school class, and the man said, I wondered how Carl would do through the illness. And this is what he said about him. He exceeded my expectations. And I dare say I know exactly why. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of joy. Are you going to finish well? Doesn't matter if you're 15 or 55. Doesn't matter if you're 30 or 80. Are you going to finish well? Finishing well is that you're more in love with Jesus at the end of your life than at any point in your life. What's affecting your current conditions the most? Is it all the negative? All the things that happen? If I were to ask you to describe your outlook on life in terms of weather conditions, what would you say?